Well, good morning, Four Points. How are you? Yeah, we're good. Thanksgiving's coming up. So excited. And all the teachers in the room said, yeah. Right? 2 days and we out. Peace. I'm excited. But I hope that you have great plans, that you are able to meet with your family. You are able to be there in person with your family, not having a virtual Thanksgiving. I say no to that in Jesus' name. We are supposed to be with people on Thanksgiving. So I am really excited to be here. Pastor Mark has a really great opportunity today to speak and go to the church and call Life Point in Seneca. A really great friend of ours asked him to come and preach the word. And so I just say, hey, we're all doing the same thing, going in the same direction with the same purpose. And we are just grateful that we get to share the word with so many people, no matter who it is, right? Because we all bless and we love one another and we want to share the word with as many people as we can. It doesn't matter where you go. Just go and go to the house that you want to serve in and you want to worship in. And we just are grateful. So be in prayer for him today as he is away. But he is entrusting me with the word today, and I'm grateful. I'm grateful that I'm here. I'm grateful that he trusts me to give this word. It's hard. It's a lonely place up here, you know. A lot of times he said, all right, y'all going to have to talk to me because I feel like my fly's down and y'all are staring at me. Well, no, mine is not. Okay, but you still need to help me out because I got all this stuff. I got notes. I got the TV to try to be consistent, but y'all going to have to help me, you know, because if I stumble, y'all just, you know, someone come up here and rescue me, okay? Okay, but I am so excited about the word that we have today, and we are continuing our series called If My People. It's been so good, hasn't it? I've loved every minute of it. It's really been able to give me some handles on how I can take this and use it in my life. Just practically. And we know, yes, the word says to pray, but to really see how the Bible says to do it and what he will do as a result, it's really great. And I'm so grateful that we're going through this. I think this is the key. I think this is the shift that we need, one, as a people and as a nation to move forward and to see change. But it's got to work. It's got to start with us because he's already promised it. He said it's finished and it is finished and he's already done it. So now it's up to us to do it. So let's say do it. That's what we're going to do today. We're going to do it. All right. So let's go to our first, just our scripture, that kind of what we've been working on. We've been going through the steps in 1 Chronicles. I think I got that wrong, actually. 2 Chronicles 7:14. And it says, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. And a lot of times we hear this verse, and you have heard this verse through this series, and you thought, yes, that's what I want. I want healing. I want the Lord to hear from heaven, and I want him to come and heal our land. And then we tend to not look at what we have to do before that. You know, this is what Pastor Mark was talking about. It's an if-then. If you do this, then I promise this will happen. And we've got to continue to work it. It's not just a one-day thing. It's not just a one-prayer thing. We've got to continuously, like he said, work and labor in it. Prayer is the work that we have to do. We don't have to labor in working it ourselves. We have to labor and work it in prayer. On our knees, continuously praying because he's promised that he will do what he says he will do. It's a promise. He can't go against his word. He can't do it. So all the promises that you see may not have happened in your life, but don't worry. He's not done. If it's not good, then he's not done because he promised it and it will happen. So I just want to challenge you with that this morning. And you know, a lot of times if we see this and we say, okay, if I'm his. Yes, I'm not the Israelites, but he's grafted me into the faith. I am his. And with that, I am called by him. He has called me to a purpose. So I'm going to do what it says to do. I'm going to humble myself. I'm going to pray. Because last week we talked about the handles on how to pray. It was so good. I heard so many stories about people getting Google Docs up and writing down all their prayers and taking notes and putting it on their phone, on their notes about the things that people are asking them to pray for. And we had an answered prayer this week. And it was really cool to see that prayer go from prayer to answered. I just challenge you to do that, because in the times where you don't feel like he's working, remember what he's done. Because there are so many, we're like sheep, y'all. Sheep, they're just not very smart. But they tend to forget. They know the voice, but they tend to forget things. That's why they have to have a shepherd. And so we forget the times that he's been so good to us, and we get into our woes and we think, well, he's not here. He's not listening. He's not, why is this happening to me? And we forget, he's never been good to me. He's not giving me good things. And we forget, because we get so bogged down in the now, that we can't remember all the things that he's done in our lives in the past and how good it's been and all the things that we can't even see. And we should thank him for even the things that that's not even been revealed to us yet, of how he protects us, how he gives us provision, how he walks with us day in and day out. And so I'm just grateful to be able to give you this word as we focus today on seek my face. Seeking his face. And you know, sometimes we look at the Bible and go, man, that's weird. Okay, I'm gonna go with it. I'm gonna look at it. I'm gonna dig a little bit, and I'm gonna look at what this means. But as we go today, I just pray that this will become something that is almost like a domino effect in your life. Who's ever played with dominoes as they were growing up? Now, I did not play the right way with dominoes. I just wanted to set them up so that I can make this cool little structure and knock them down, and they're all, you know, fall, and it's just all this great work that I put into this, and then it takes them 1 second, and then they all fall. But if you space them out right in the right distance, and you knock it down, it'll all fall, and it'll be amazing. And then when they all fall down, you've done all that work, and in the end, what do? Yeah, that's awesome, you know, and make this big cheer, because you did it the right way. And I just feel like that this is what this verse is telling us, to set it up. Set it up. Do the work. Do the work that he's asked you to do. Work in it. Labor in it. Humble yourselves. Know that you're called by him. Pray. Seek his face. He promised that he will turn from your wicked ways. And then this is what he's going to do. So set it up. Let the pieces fall. Because if you work this system of the kingdom, it will work for you. That's what he promised us. So let's work it today. Let's find out what seeking really means. Now, y'all, I'm just telling you, I just got your primary mind here. When I hear the word seek, I cannot get out of my mind hide and seek. I mean, it just comes to me. That was literally my favorite game. We have this love-hate relationship, hide and seek, because it never failed. I would always be the one hiding, and I'd go, and I get so excited, and I found the perfect hottest spot, and then all of a sudden, oh no, I gotta go to the bathroom. And I would sit there in agony, knowing that I had to go to the bathroom, and I couldn't leave, I couldn't reveal my spot, but I just couldn't do it. I had to go to the bathroom, and it happened every time. It was like the anticipation, and I had to stay still for that long period of time, and I just knew, and it never failed. So, I think of hide and seek. And so the title of the message today is hide and seek. And we're going to find out how he really wants us to hide and seek today. When my kids were little, they loved playing hide and seek. They'd ask me all the time, let's play hide and seek. And I go, oh gosh, okay. Because you know how it is with little kids, okay? They don't know the good hiding spots. So this is what they would do, okay? We'd get hide and 10. Ready or not, here I come. There they are, right behind that pole. And I can see their entire body out of the pole, okay? But this is what we do as great parents. We walk around and we go, oh, I wonder where Lainey is. I can't find her. Oh, is she under here? No. And we act like we don't see them. I couldn't have, they're right there. But then they giggle and they laugh and they think it's so funny because they want to be found, you know? They want to play that game with you, but they want to be found. They don't want to be by themselves. They want you to find them, and they think it's the greatest thing in the world. And so I just think of that with little kids. With adults, it's game on, son. We're going to find the best hiding spot, and we are going to be the champion. We're going to find that best hiding spot, and nobody's going to find us for days. And be like, come find me. Come find me. And then I'll be gone for the rest of the day, and I won't have to do anything, and you'll have to do it all by yourself, right? So I just think about that in hide and seek, because it was one of my kids' favorite little games, and it's great because you don't have to have anything to do hide and seek. But I just wonder, that's not how God is. And I'm so grateful, because he doesn't want to hide from us. He's in the obvious places. And we tend to act like the adults and go, oh, I wonder if God's over here. No, I wonder if he's over here. And all the time, he's right there. And we know he is. Do we look in the wrong places? Or do we choose not to see him? Because a lot of times we just want to stay in that victim mentality and just say, nah, I'll just stay. It's too much work. Too much work for me to go find him. Too much work for me to go find somebody. And sometimes we just give up and say, yep, I can't find him, so I'm just going to give up and I'm just going to be in my own misery. And when that happens, we've got to get out of that. He wants us to get away from that because he's not wanting to hide from you. He's clearly right there. Never has left your side. Never will leave you nor forsake you. That's what he promises in the word. So let's really look at what seek means. Okay? To seek by inquiring, to investigate, to reach a binding resolution, to search, getting to the bottom of the matter. And yes, we want to seek. We definitely want to find that person that's been hiding and it's taken us forever to find them. We want them to be the one now that's counting because we don't want to be the counter again. We want to be the one that hides. We want to change up the game. We don't want to be in that situation forever. And with us as adults, we want to seek lots of things, whether it may be our destiny, our purpose. What are we doing here? Why am I doing this? Why am I at my job? Well, let me seek to get find ways to get better at this. And I'm really not where I want to be. And so let me seek and find ways that I can get better. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with seeking after things, but it's got to be under the right umbrella, which is God's way. Seeking him for what he wants us to do. In the order that he wants us to do it in. Because isn't it going to be so much better than what we seek out ourselves? We're going to put the work to the plow and work the land and work it like the curse is. Or we can work it in prayer and allow him to work it out for us. Which one would you choose?
Yes, this side.
This is what I would choose. But we just don't do that. Because we tangibly see the work that we're doing, but we can't see the work that he's doing. And that's where faith and trust has to come in. You know, it says without faith, it's impossible to please God. And sometimes I go, man, I haven't pleased him today. I haven't had the faith that I needed to today. But that's what he wants us to work toward. And I think that's all about what seeking him really is. We want to get to the bottom of that matter, but let's do that his way instead of ours. I want us to look at a little bit about how what we're supposed to be seeking. So Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Great verse. Seeking the kingdom, seeking those principles. Seek the kingdom because the king is over the kingdom. If you're seeking the ways of the kingdom, you're going to have the king's heart. You're going to do that. And then all these things are going to be added to you. Another thing that he told us to seek is to seek him. Matthew 7:7-8 says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be open. Wonderful. Like, I can't find any more comfort in that right there. The word says that if you are asking like you've already received it, then you will have it. But how hard is it for us to see that it's already happened in our lives? Because we're like sheep. We can't see very well. We hear everything. We hear all the noise going on around us and we get scared. We have to hear his word and trust his voice and seek him because he promises us we will find him. So God tells us all these things about, yes, we have to seek him, we have to seek. But how do we do that? Like that seems so odd to me. Seek his face? Okay, well, I've really heard in the Bible that nobody's really seen his face. So how am I going to do that? You know, it talked about with Solomon and God was teaching Solomon and telling him and giving him wisdom on how to lead his people. And, you know, Solomon's father was David. And David and the songs and the hymns and things that he sung to the Lord, they would have been used to this terminology. They would have been used to the word seek my face because they'd heard it before. And so when you're looking at, scoot ahead a little bit. He says, you have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, I do seek. This is David talking. Yes, Lord, I'm going to seek your face. This is what you called me to do. And then also in Psalm 105:4, it says, seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his presence continually. They would have been used to this. So when it says, seek my face, they understood what he was talking about. But it had to be done in a certain order. How can I do that? How can I seek something that I can't see? Because that's the whole thing with hide and seek. It's really hard to know in the places to look if I can't see where they are. If I can't see him. If I can't see him working, how am I going to seek him? And I think that's really important about going back and remembering those times that he has been so faithful in our life and to know that he is there. You can seek him because he is there and he's not left you. So they would have been familiar with this. And as I go back, why are we seeking? What is in us that makes us want to do that? Well, we have a longing within us that makes us want to seek after something that we don't know. There's a lot of unknowns. Would you say amen to that? A lot of unknowns. And I think that brings us back to the bottom so that we will trust in him and fully trust that he's got everything under control. But why do we do that? Because we are created to seek after something. We were created to be led, but we have to be careful not to be led by our hearts. We have to be led by the Lord and what he tells us to do. And so that longing within us wants us to seek for ourselves, seek all the things that we can go after, make it happen, do all this work. And then a lot of times it ends up failing, or it's not in the right order that it's supposed to come in. And then I end up messing the whole thing up. When all I could have just done is do the work in prayer and seek his face, and then he would reveal it to me. You know, I think, how do we do that? How are we coming before him and seeking his face? This is how God is so cool. He reveals to us things in scripture, because a lot of times you read the Bible and you think, whoa, that made no sense. Right over the head, that's where it went. But God is so gracious in his word that he will take you there if you dig, if you read it, if you ask him. If you ask him, he'll tell you. It's not difficult. We make it difficult because we think we have to have this huge epiphany from the Lord, and all he's wanting us to do is help us understand his word, and he'll give it to us in little pockets if we'll just choose to seek him. Look at what it says. Why should we seek after him? Because we are made for God, period. Why do we seek? Why do we go after things? Because we're made for him. We are his workmanship. He is the purpose for everything. We seek him because he is the purpose why we get up in the morning. We seek things. We seek him because he is the calling that we have in our job. We seek him because he is the purpose of why we have kids and a family, and we pour into them every single day when it's tireless. We work tirelessly and we mull over things, and we try to do the best that we can to teach them and to guide them. We work at our job. We try to do right for people. He's the purpose. He's the point. And so we seek after him because we're made for him. And if we can understand that we're made for him and this is not all about us, it would really flip the switch in our lives of what we seek after. And so as David was talking, the word presence comes out in the scripture before that I read in Psalm 105:4. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his, everybody say this, presence. The word face literally translates as presence. To be in his presence. And you think, okay, here we go. Be in his presence. I hear you. I know I'm supposed to seek him. I know I'm supposed to get in his presence. But you don't know my life. You don't know my schedule. You don't know the things that I have to deal with. You don't know my family. I feel like ain't nobody got time for that. I don't have hours to get in his presence. How am I supposed to do that and be able to hear anything if I can't find one single time for myself? Lord, sometimes I can't even remember my own name. How can I get in there and seek his face and do what he asked me to do if I can't find the time to get in his presence? And I think that's just where we have to shift our mindset. When we were playing hide and seek, kids don't remember this, but when they were really little, they would get super frustrated if they couldn't find us. I mean, really frustrated. They would end up like now calling out, Mom, Dad, where are you? I can't find you. And your tears, weeping and gnashing. And sometimes we'd hide behind, you know, long curtains or behind a door, and we'd just like, you know, slip our little foot out so they can see us, or put our foot around the door or something so they could see a little part of us, and they'd find us, and they'd go, yeah, there you are, ha ha, I found you, and we're going, yeah, I helped you, you're welcome, because I wanted to hide here all day long, you don't even know my strategy, but but I thought about how is that with the Lord, because, you know, if you've ever gotten down, and I do this all the time because I lose things, it's just inevitable. Now, I'm getting down, but y'all better help me get up if I fall. But whoever's gotten down on all fours to look for something that they've lost, okay? They're getting down, looking under the bed. If you've lost an earring or something that's really tiny, you want to go pick it up. You're like looking, you're searching, you're feeling, and you're getting down in this posture. And when you find it, it's like the greatest thing ever, especially if you're in a hurry and you got to get somewhere. And you're like, I can't find it. What in the world? And you find it. And then you stay in this position for just a minute before you get up, but this is where he wants you to stay. Because I feel like when you find his feet, just like what the kids found our feet, then we'll find his face. So we've got to get before him. And you think, gosh, I don't have time. When am I going to do that? And we have great intentions, but those intentions have to be in direction of where we're going. Because the intentions will be great. We'll have great intentions. You know, the first of the year, we're all going to lose weight. It's a great intention. But then day one, boop, then we're gone and we're done because we don't have a direction of what we're doing and how we're going and working it. This is the direction right here. Find the time to get alone with him. Intentions are great, but if there's no direction, they will stop at the paper and they will go no further. And I'm preaching to myself. Lord knows I'm preaching to myself. Get up 30 minutes early. I know it's hard. I know you love your sleep. But you know, God will redeem it back to you. He will. He'll bless you with it. He'll bless you for it. Get up. Do the work. Labor in the prayer that he so desperately wants to meet with you. Find that time. Can you be in his presence in the car? Absolutely. You could be in his presence in the car. Find that place where you can seek him and fall at his feet and humble yourself and realize how great he is, and then you'll find him. And then he'll begin to reveal his glory to you. Wow, I'm super impressed. Oh, and heels, glory. So when we find his feet, then we'll find his face. And I think it's really important. We got to stick to that. Find his feet. Get in that posture. Get in that position of prayer where we can seek him. We can find him. He doesn't want to be hidden from us. He promises us that we will find him like we talked about in the word. And then when we seek his face, we experience his presence. All right, Thanksgiving's coming up. Like I said, I hope that you are having a face-to-face Thanksgiving with your family members. And you might have people that are coming in from town, people that you might not have seen in a long time. And how good is it, especially if you've been away or have for any distance, and you get back with that person, and I don't know, you just spend hours talking to them. And after you're done, can't you just like breathe? I mean, it just does something so much for your soul. You're like, oh, that was great. I just really enjoy being with them. And what makes that friendship grow and grow and grow is the presence, being in their presence, being with them face to face. Okay, so I got a new app in my world. It's not new to the world. It's just new to me, called Marco Polo. Who's heard of it? All right. This app, at first I thought they're crazy. This is weird. Okay, this is very odd. We are video messaging. Why can't we just FaceTime each other? Like Apple invented this great thing of FaceTime. But it was invented because a family actually invented it from Poland. And they were getting ready to expand their family, and they were about to have children. And they created it for them to be able to see family. In real time, basically. That's why they created it, and they're making the bukus of money because we all using it. So the cool thing about this app, though, is that you can video yourself talking, and once you video, it automatically sends it, and the best thing ever is to get a response. It's like Christmas, y'all. It's like a text on steroids, okay? It is the best thing. It's addicting, for real. Like interrupt my conversation with someone if I get a Marco Polo. That's really bad. So that means that I need to fast from it. Maybe later. Maybe if the Lord tells me. But we really want the face-to-face interaction with people. And when it's been taken away, we don't realize it, but we suffer. Okay, Corona hit. The COVID hit. And we were taken away from our face-to-face interaction. And we thought, okay, we'll do this. This is not good, but we'll do it. And then we're like, okay, this stinks. We're not going to do this anymore. This is awful. But the face-to-face interaction that we first had was with the Lord. Adam and Eve, in the cool of the day, met with Jesus, met with the Lord, met with him. That means they met face-to-face with him. My mind can't even fathom that, meeting face-to-face. And then all that was expelled when sin came into the picture and we weren't allowed to do that anymore. But his perfect plan came, and the veil was torn, and now we can have access. Well, you know, Satan don't want any of that. Because you know, the access that we have gets things done. And then he can't rule over the earth like he's supposed to. Which, hallelujah, we know the end of that story. That was taken away. Then all this stuff hits, and those things were taken away from us. And now we can't even see people's faces because they have masks over them. We don't even know if they're smiling or frowning or sticking their tongue out at us or saying bad words, and we don't even know what they are because we can't see them. That was taken away. Then to be able to corporately worship was taken away. I can't even get in close proximity with you because that's taken away. The enemy's work is great, but it's not greater than our God because we say no to that. We're here. And we're wearing masks, and we're not afraid, and we're not living in fear, but we don't want the face-to-face interaction to go away because we were created to have it. God created that within us. We have to have that interaction with people because he made us communal. When we don't have it, we suffer. And that's why our community now is the norm. You know, a lot of times we think, if I could just see their face, oh, how good would it be if I could just see their face? Or if you give a gift to somebody and you're not with them to see them open it, you just wonder, I wonder what their face looked like when they opened that gift. You just want to see their reactions. It does something to us, and it is within us. And so we want to have that face-to-face interaction. So when we see his face, seek his face, we're in his presence, and it's like we can't get enough of it. Have you ever been in his presence and something just stirred in you, like you're singing a worship song, and then just something just like, ooh, I felt that, or I heard something, or something in my spirit that felt like the Lord was talking to me. And it doesn't have to be like this huge audible voice. It's not necessarily going to be that, but we can't get enough of it. We want more and more and more, and that's what he wants you to catch. So we do that by seeking him, getting in his presence, and experiencing his presence. But why? I mean, why? What is the point? I hear what you're talking about. Seek, yes, I will do it. Okay, get in his presence. I will try. But I don't understand why. Like, what am I going to get from this? Time where I might fall asleep? Because a lot of times we're just so tired. We're just overworked. And we don't know what's going on. And we want answers. And we're just tired. And at the one moment that I have to rest, it's like, dear Lord, oh. And I'm asleep. And I don't want it to be that way. But why do we do it? We must return to the simplicity of seeking him in the cool of the day. Why can't it just be simple as I seek him, I seek his face, I worship him, he reveals things to me, and then I get to go out and share it with people. And when it's depleted, I come right back and do the same thing again. It's that simple. It's real easy to say. It's really hard to do because we want to work at ourselves. Because we know that we're made for him, and we got to get in his presence daily. This is why we get in his presence. This is why. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. Y'all, I'm going to run a lap. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Look what he has to give me. Why would I not want to sit in his presence? I'm not saying that you don't need to work. I'm not saying you don't need to put your hand to the work that God has given you. He didn't say how much time to be in his presence. He wants you to be in his presence all the time. And you can do that in anything that he's given you to do. Be in his presence because he's going to make known the path. You want to know? Ask him. Get in his presence. And Lord, I'm speaking to me today. Get in his presence. You want to know? You want to know the unknowns? He said and he promised that he will reveal them to you. You want the fullness of joy? Get in his presence. We cannot rely on the happiness of happenings to sustain us. Oh, the holidays are a perfect example. We will do this our whole lives if we're allowing the happiness of happenings to dictate our joy. And that's not even really joy. He is our joy, and we experience the joy on the journey that he's given us. It may not be great. It may not be exactly what we thought it was going to be. It may not be in our timing, but it's joy because we know what he's done, and we know what he's going to do in the end, and it's his glory that's going to be revealed. It's not about us, but we sure enough make it about us. It's about him. It's about seeking his face and knowing his presence and being in it. So here's the point. We hide, we get alone with God. Find that spot. Get alone with him. 5 minutes. You know, a lot of times people think, oh, look at the relationship they have with God. I mean, man, they're incredible. Like, I see them preach or I see them talk and they just, they got it all together. Do you think it happened just in happenstance? They stumble? Oh, I'm into a great relationship with the Lord today. Doesn't happen like that. It takes work. It takes a process. And so I want to encourage you today, if you are in the position where you're like, yeah, I'm not where I want to be. I feel like I should be further along. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm trying to do the best I can. God says it's okay. If you just get in my presence and find the unknowns that I'm going to reveal to you, I'll allow you to go out and reveal my glory to everyone, and I'll bless you. Because what you're doing is you're coming to him and you're blessing him. And then he blesses you to bless others. And then you come back and you get it again. And then you go and bless others. And then what happens? Oh, I don't even think about myself now. I'm getting the blessing, I'm taking it out. I'm getting the blessing, and I'm taking it out. I don't even think about me. But he's going to get it. He's going to get it to you. Every time, he'll get it to you. It's not about us. So then we seek God, we seek, and we get in his presence, and his glory is revealed. In the Bible, it talks about Moses. And I just think he's a great example of this because he was in a position, he didn't know what he was doing. He had no clue. He stuttered. He didn't talk well. God told him to lead the people out of Egypt. He was like, okay, but I don't know if I can do this thing. Can you at least bring somebody with me to help me? And he said, yes. And so with leading the people out of Egypt, he goes up to the mountain where he hears from God, and he comes back down and he tells the people what to do. And then he does it again. And he goes back up and he comes back down and he goes back up and he comes back down and he was revealing things. And all the while, the people down there wonder, where is he? So if he's gone, we'll just make images for ourselves and we'll just start worshiping those. And then we think, why do they do that? They're so crazy. God just brought them out of slavery. Duh. Shouldn't they just be worshiping him and waiting? And I think, wow, okay, I'm such a hypocrite because that's exactly what I do. I tend to forget the goodness of God when I'm in the circumstances that I cannot choose to remember what he's done in the past. I just sit right here in this, in the here and the now. When I know he's been good and faithful, and I know he will do it again, and all I have to do is just seek him, just like Moses did. He went up, he pleaded to the God and said, please don't kill them. I know they're acting awful. I know that they're just please don't kill them. I'll go back down. I'm pleading with you. I'll go back down and I'll tell them. Just please don't kill them. And he changed God's mind. How many times can we go before the throne of grace and plead and intercede for our people that are hurting and that are dying, and you pray for yourself and go, God, this is the desire of my heart. He says, okay, I'll grant it to you. because you're seeking my face. And he promises in the word that he will not forsake those that seek him. Promise, can't go against it. He will do it. And so when he comes back down, the Bible tells us that he has a veil over his face because his glory, God's glory, is on him. But the cool thing about it is that God's glory is on each one of you. And so we really should turn the lights off in here and everyone should glow in the dark. I think it'd be really cool to see in the spiritual realm, like everybody that's glowing in the dark and be like, oh yeah, okay, I'm gonna go to that person because they're gonna help me because they got the light all over them. Or I'm gonna go to that person because they're just shining. I can go there. And like little beacons of light popping up because we've got his glory on us. We saw his face. We got down and we got in his presence and he revealed things to us and he showed us his glory. And so now what we get to do is we're going to be like Moses and we go out to the people and tell them what we need to do. But the Bible says we're not like him, Moses. We don't have the veil over our face. Ooh, I'm going to run a lap here too. But this is who we get to be. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. I'm free. I'm free to reveal his glory. I don't have to worry what people think of me because God loves me. He's got a plan for my life, and he's going to reveal things to me, and I'm going to be able to give those to you, and I'm going to show you how good he is. And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, we think about it. We meditate on it. Think about how good it is. And being transformed in his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. This is what we get to be. Unveiled faces, revealing his glory after we've gone up and we've sought him and we got in his presence and revealed things to us. And now the glory's all on us. And the Bible does say that it faded. But what do? We go back up, get alone with God, and seek his face. And he reveals things to us. And then we go out and take it. And we do it all over again. That's what it's about. It's not about us. It's about revealing his glory to the world. That's what they need. That's what we need. Every day, every second. Because, hey, I can go in here and I can get all filled up. And that's what corporate worship is supposed to do. But then I can go out in like 5 minutes and then it just dies. I got to be filled every day, every second of every day. I have to ask him, fill me, Lord, fill me. Don't ever let me go with an empty tank. Because you know, if I'm empty, then I fill myself and it's not good. I destroy everything that I work toward, put my hand to the plow without him going before me. So the point is put the dominoes in place. Put the dominoes in the place. Humble yourself. Pray. Seek his face. Turn from your wicked ways. And what is he going to do? He's going to hear from heaven. He's going to heal our land. And then they'll fall. And they'll just start falling. I'm not saying it's going to go exactly how we planned it to be in our mind, but God's thoughts are greater and higher. And we want his way, not our way. And so we go back to the verse. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. What is he telling us to do? Prayer is the work. Seek his face. Hide away with God. He doesn't want to hide from you. He wants to hide away so that you can seek his face and get in his presence. So I hope hide and seek means something different to you now. Hide in him. Seek his face and come out and reveal his glory to everyone because they so desperately need it. And you need it. You can't do the work until you've got it within you. The Lord said to me this morning, there's no pursuit without prayer. Like we said, we can't just stumble into a great relationship with God. We got to pursue him. Just like in a relationship, the husband is supposed to pursue the wife. It's a constant pursuing. Running after, seeking. And I was curling my hair this morning and sometimes we play worship music while we're getting ready and Mark played Nothing Else. And we were singing it and I just heard the Lord say to me in my spirit, he didn't audibly speak to me, but just in my spirit, I just felt like he was telling me that this is the bow. Tie it with the bow of Nothing Else. and let them respond. And I turned to Mark and I said, has the band, they've done this song, right? And he said, yeah, this morning. I said, what? They're doing that this morning? Because I had not looked at the worship set. I hadn't been on social media or anything, and I had not looked. And I said, shut the front door. Are you kidding me? He said, no, I'm serious. I picked that song. We talked about it with Shannon and everybody, and they decided we'll do nothing else. I said, thank you, Lord. You're so good. Because then it was in, what, 2-3 minutes? I saw him in worship. He revealed something to me, and I get to share it with you. Come on, won't he do it? That's so good. And it's just little pockets like that that just make me want to just, ooh, I got to get more of that. That was so good. Thank you, Lord. And I can hear from him, and he gives me access with him, and it's so good that he loves me that much to do that for me. What? I can't comprehend it. And so this morning we're going to sing Nothing Else, because we got to get back to the place where nothing else will do. I just want you. And that's it. Because it says to seek first the kingdom and then all these things will be added. And I know we've heard it. But intentions will only stop at the paper if there's no direction to get us there. And this is the direction. Seek his face. Get in his presence. Because nothing else matters. He'll give us the desires of our heart and everything he needs, because that's what he promised us. So I just pray today as we stand and as we worship this morning with the band, as they sing Nothing Else. Yes, absolutely. Go ahead and stand. Would you make that your prayer this morning? Listen to the words that I want nothing else. I just want you. I'm sorry for what I made it to be. I'm sorry going through the motions of just acting like it's something I can check off on my daily list or something I can check off on Sunday. I just want you. I'm coming back to it. Pray for those big things in your life. Seek his face. Make this your altar this morning. And go, God, I just come into you as a sign and a symbol of I am ready to diligently seek your face in everything that I'm doing. I just want you. So let's worship this morning.